It's true, isn't it? Every stage of life brings a whole new situation. Some of you have been aware of it, but I've actually been going through a bit of a crisis lately. In different ways, you've picked up on it. It's been a hair crisis. No, this is serious. You see, you need to understand, all my life I've been told, you've got a thick head of hair. You'll never go bald. I believe them. But over the last little while, I have been noticing, I don't go near mirrors in front of bright lights these days. Because there's this incredible glowing thing happening. And I can see through my hair. And look, my dad, he had really thick hair. And my mum's father, he had really thick hair. I figure I will always have thick hair. Well, this has reached crisis point in the last little while. Kerry and I have been going to the same hairdresser now for quite a few years. And I mentioned this to her. And so she's been kind of experimenting a little bit. And for the really observant among you, and some of you, your comment really did notice, her last experiment didn't work at all. Anyway, she's a really good hairdresser. But this crisis just reached its climax when I discovered she's gone. She's just gone. She's just left. Ah, man, it's like you find a doctor, you find a dentist, and you find a hairdresser, and life just goes on. You don't have to think anymore. I mean, I have had the same hairstyle for 30 years. It's just you go there, you sit, you shut your mouth, and you say, you know what to do. It's great. So she's gone. And kind of to add injury to insult, my loyalty card, I'd reached the free haircut. And I'm thinking, do I go back there? Because there's no one there. She's the only one. Where do I go? What do I do? Money won in the end. I went back for the free haircut. And there's a new person there taking her place, a young girl. And I sit down and she's very, you know, she's new, so she's very interested and paying a lot of attention. And, you know, she's thinking, good grief, I've got this old guy, what will I do with him? And so she's there and I'm saying, yeah, look, you know, the previous person, she's been experimenting and trying to work it out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, and people have since I said these words, when I told them this, they said, you said what? I said, do whatever you like. Yes. You gave this young girl permission. I said, yep. I said, I don't care. And the whole time I'm saying, I don't basically care about my hair. Who cares? Anyway, and she's there and she's looking at it and she's saying, you know, doing this. And she's saying, you know, you can do something about this. Apparently you can, you know, and it's not too late for me, apparently. I can do something. And I'm going, oh, right, you know. And the Hawaiian, and she's having fun, you know, and she's doing all this stuff. What I've just discovered, I suspected it for a while. My father, at this stage of his life, did not have thick hair at all. He had a comb over. And that's where she's taken me. The beginnings of the comb over had started. Brother, I could never grow a beard like that. That was said by Cole, if you didn't hear at the back. If you don't know Cole, just observe. So, and the whole time I'm sitting there, this is unfolding, this thought pops into my head. Am I worrying about my hair too much? Is that sin? Is this sin? Am I vain? You know, like, oh, hang on a second. This is, am I back to when I first became a Christian and I had long hair and someone came up to me once and I didn't know, but they told me that Christian men aren't allowed to have long hair. And I'd never heard that before. And I thought, oh, hang on. Oh, am I sinning now? I want to follow Jesus. I really want to do what he wants me to do with my life. But am I doing the wrong thing? And I'm sitting there in the hairdresser in this, where this person is really trying hard to help me. And I'm thinking, good grief, am I sinning? Am I thinking about this way too much? And it was, what was supposed to be a wonderful experience turned out to be a real crisis trauma even more. But it's true. It's tricky, isn't it? I mean, I wanted to do what Jesus wants me to do. For us who know Jesus, isn't that where it's at for us? I want to follow Jesus. But things happen all the time. And it can be as stupid as a haircut. Little things that you find yourself going, hang on a second, what is really going on here at the moment? Or it can be something much more obvious. And so it's knowing what to do. That's the challenge, isn't it? Yes, living, there is no doubt that believing in Jesus affects the way we live. But the more challenging issue, is knowing how to behave and even more so, how to do it, how to actually live for Jesus. Well, this morning I want to explore this a little further as we continue in our study of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want to pick it up where we left off last time we were looking at this together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me read from verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus, verse 13, strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now, we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. We have seen previously in our study of Thessalonians that Paul was in no doubt that these people had believed in Jesus and were following him. And one of the reasons for his confidence was their behavior, the way they lived. And indeed, as you read through the New Testament, embedded in everything we read, there is an assumption. Believing in Jesus affects the way we live. Believing in Jesus affects the way we live. It affects everything. Now, in the context we are looking at this morning, the particular issue is their sexual practices. Verse 3, avoid sexual immorality. Now, our English phrase, sexual immorality, is a translation of the Greek word porneia. And this word porneia, both in the Greek New Testament and also the Greek Old Testament, describes a range of behaviours. And I'm not going to go into those in detail. But it expressed a whole broad range of things. And so, for example, when people would pose an argument that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality in the Gospels, they were wrong because he talked about sexual immorality, porneia. And in a Jewish mind, the word porneia included, for example, homosexual practices, as it included also many other things. And like our world, so too the ancient world was very similar. And they said, look, man, sexually, if you want to do it, do it. Everything's okay. I mean, Demosthenes was an ancient Greek orator, and he made this observation of his society. He said, we keep mistresses for our pleasure, prostitutes for our daily needs, and wives to bear us legitimate children. Yes, when it comes to sex, believing in Jesus means avoiding sexual immorality. But as you look deeper at the Bible, you quickly realize it's much broader than just sex. Take, for example, say, let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 19. It's a passage of Scripture I'm sure many of us are very conscious of. But notice what Paul is saying here. The acts of the flesh are obvious. He talks about porneia, sexual immorality, but he also includes impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions. And did I miss one? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and lying. This, no, didn't come. Lying's, no, that's the next one. So, like, it's really easy when we start talking about holiness to talk about sexual immorality. But if we talk about that in isolation, I think we're missing the stuff. We can include in this list vanity concerning one's hair. I mean, look at Colossians. Similar situation. Paul's writing to the Christians in Colossae, and notice again the list. Yep, porneia, sexual immorality is there. Lust, evil desires, greed, anger. Oh, now this is getting close. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie. Yes, believing in Jesus affects everything. And we see a hint of this. We get an insight into this even here in this portion of Scripture in Thessalonians. Albeit Paul is writing about one thing among many. His language is interesting. Notice again, verse 3. I declare, that's Galatians. Verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Verse 4. That each of you should learn to control your own body and in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 7. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Sanctified, holy, a holy life, pure. Now, these words, holy and sanctified, come from a basic idea, one basic idea. And it means to be set apart to God, to be set apart. Has anyone here got their own toothbrush? Whew, that's scary. Not everyone's there. you do have toothbrushes at your home and you don't share them with the other people in the house. Right, that was for free, that one. Your toothbrush is sanctified. Your toothbrush is holy. It is yours. It is no one else's. It belongs to you. You have every right to say, excuse me, stop using my toothbrush, please. It is mine. It is mine. Well, that's the idea behind this word, this concept of, you know, you're holy. You're sanctified. Live this holy and honorable life. The idea here is to be set apart to God, to belong to Him, to reflect Him in the totality of your being. That's the idea here. And indeed, that is God's will for you and me. That is what God wants for us. For us who know Jesus, that is what God wants for us. Everything I am, everything I think, everything I do, all for the glory of God. Yes. Believing in Jesus affects everything. But of course, just hearing that can be overwhelming and leave us really struggling. I can't change. I'll never be any different. I've tried and tried and nothing seems to work. But can I suggest, if that's what you are hearing, if that's what you're thinking, that if that's what you're saying, then you are thinking and hearing and saying the wrong things. You see, if God, now follow this one, if God wants me to be His, if God wants me to live for His glory, if God wants it, it is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. When we say, I can never change, what we're saying is, God, you, there is something that is impossible that you cannot do, and it's change me. I'm too hard for you, God. You can't do it. I mean, think about the logic of this. That's what we're actually saying. Yes, what we need to grasp here is this is an incredible call and it's an incredible encouragement to us. God wants to do something in us. And maybe we approach it from the wrong perspective. I could never do that. No, you can't. But forget that for a second. That is so irrelevant to this discussion. This is all about what God wants to do. This is what God wants to do. And what we need to grasp here is that believing in Jesus makes holiness possible. It makes holiness possible. And it is possible because Jesus delivered us from the power of sin and death. He sets us free. Now, Paul hints at that here in Thessalonians. It's kind of interesting. Notice with me, in verse 4, he says, each of us should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And then in verse 6, he says, the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. Now, as you read that, there's a whole body of thinking that sits behind these simple statements. Because as we know, God, in His eternal purpose, has done everything possible to draw you and I to Himself. God has made it possible for us, for His creation, to know Him, to enjoy His good gifts of creation. The story of humanity, as you know well, is the story of you and I turning our backs on God. We, like Adam and Eve, chose to believe the lie that God is not good, that God is not moral, that God is not just. God cannot care for us. And we chose to turn our backs and go our own way. Sin entered the world. All of us were impacted by sin. Our world today is impacted by the consequences of sin. But God in his love sent Jesus. And Jesus died and rose again. He conquered sin and death once and for all. He is the one who makes it possible for pagans, for those who worship other gods, to know God. He is the one who hates sin and will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. But the glorious flip side of that is there is forgiveness, there is freedom, that the just judge is the one who forgives and cleanses from sin. Yes, believing in Jesus makes holiness possible because Jesus delivered us from the power of sin. God did something about it. I mean, notice the way Paul handles this in Ephesians, in a passage we know well, Ephesians 2. Verse 1, as for you, Christians, he's writing to people who have believed in Jesus, as for you and me, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us, yes, you and I who have believed in Jesus, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved, you have been rescued from sin and death, you have been saved through faith. And that, and this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For now listen to this, and we know this well, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And notice chapter 1, verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The call of God to holiness is not a call to failure. It's a hey, reality check, Jesus died and rose again. It's possible. Jesus did this so that you can fulfill the eternal destiny that God has planned for his creation, that we might live lives pleasing to God. It's possible. Because Jesus delivered us from the power of sin and death. And holiness is also possible because God the Holy Spirit lives in us. Verse 13. And we talked about this last time, how Paul is sort of praying for these believers, and he's saying, may he, God, and our Lord Jesus Christ, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul is praying for them that they would be strengthened in their hearts, at the core of their being, in their innermost being. In first century thinking, the heart was at the center of the person's being. And may the Lord Jesus himself strengthen you in your heart. And then we see also in verse 8 of chapter 4. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, again, we need to understand that Paul is writing to these people, but sitting behind the words he's saying is a whole heap of teaching and thinking that these guys would have been aware of. I mean, for example, you and I, we talk about when we become a Christian, we say, I have believed in Jesus and Jesus is living in me. Theologically, that's not correct. Jesus is not living in you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. And that comes through time and time again. And the beauty of the New Testament, there is so often the intermingling of the persons of the Trinity, and where one starts and the other begins is very hard for us to understand. And the sense of Christ in us, the Spirit of Christ in us. And to be a believer is to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are the temple of God. God's Spirit lives in us. Just let that sink in for a second. God. Yes, you believer, you who have believed in Jesus, you have repented and said, Jesus, I need you. God lives in you. And Paul is he's praying that when he prays that God would strengthen them in their hearts. He's praying, as we said a couple of weeks ago, he's praying that God by his Spirit would do a work in your life. When he's saying, hey guys, I'm calling you to live a holy life, and remember, God, the Holy Spirit, he's living in you to do the will of God. God, the Holy Spirit, who in Corinthians, Paul says, is changing us from glory to glory. It's holiness is a work of the heart. That's where it always starts. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can change the heart of a person. And that's what he's doing. I mean, you are a construction site. You have a 40-kilometer zone all around you. You have a stop-go man sitting there, one of the angels. You have signs up wherever you are because you are a work site. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and he's doing something. He's not just going, oh, isn't this nice? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, that's not who God is. He is active, he is present, he is powerful. He's at work in you. When one of our sons was born, he had an incredibly high jaundice count, and so much so that he needed a full blood exchange. So this little, I think he was 3 days old, this little baby is in a crib, and he's hooked up, and this three-hour process where they took all his blood out of his body and totally replaced his blood. He seems normal these days. Must have worked. But see, that's what the Holy Spirit does when I think about it. That's kind of a wonderful picture of how the Holy Spirit's doing. There's kind of something wrong with our blood and it's not working properly, and if it keeps on, you know, going around, it's going to affect organs and organs will shut down and we'll die and all that stuff. So the best thing to do is to get a blood exchange. Get rid of all that old blood. Let's get some new blood in this person. When you believed in Jesus, when Jesus said, it is finished, he's conquered sin and death once and for all, when you were given new life and when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you, man, you had a full blood exchange. Good blood. It's good blood in you. Sometimes it mightn't feel like it. Sometimes you might struggle. See, holiness is possible because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's all possible. And then finally, holiness is possible. Just do it. Sorry, that's a bit obscure up there. Just do it. Did you notice the repetition of responsibility here in this small portion of Scripture? Like, verse 1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. responsibility. Where is the responsibility being laid? At our feet. Verse 3. Each of you should learn, you should avoid. Verse 4. Each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 7. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Where is the responsibility? Here. Putting it back on us. Holiness is possible. Just do it. Just absolutely do it. I find Paul's language here really helpful. This notion of living in it's what, verse 1, living in order to please God, do this more and more. Living in order to please God, do this more and more. And why I find it helpful is the idea of, okay, right now, right in this moment, how can I live to please God? What can I do here, right now, to please God, right now? See, that's all you have to worry about. The devil has a wonderful trick of overwhelming us. Oh, it's too much. Your life's such a screw up. You're this, you're this, you're this. Yes, 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 I agree. Now, how can I please God right now? That's all that matters. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? As we look at all this, as we think about not just the uniqueness of the context and the situation there at Thessalonica, maybe that is relevant for you. Maybe sexual immorality is an issue. And maybe that is how dealing with some of that stuff is a way you can please God. But it's much broader than that, isn't it? How can you please God right now? That's where we begin. And equally, I love the language, do it more and more. So the issue is, it's sort of hints at the notion of journey, of process. Yep, I was doing okay yesterday, but man, no, today's today. What more can I do today? You know, I've read a lot of biographies of Christians over the years, and I'm really encouraged because, like Danielle encouraged me this morning and told me I'm not alone. So these biographies told me I'm not alone too, because there's a lot of crazy Christians out there. There's been a lot of crazy, crazy Christians over the years. And some of the things they've done, personally, I wouldn't have done. But when you get in behind, why did they do that? They said, look, I just want to please God. I just want to please God today. And as I'm reading the Word, and it's always Word and Spirit, as I'm reading the Word, as I'm living my life in the Word, and as I'm saying, God, I just want to know you more, I just want to please you today, there's that the Holy Spirit just leaping things off the page. Today, Kevin, I do not want you to lose your temper once. Okay. That means I can't drive. When I first became a Christian, I became a Christian in the context, and I might have mentioned this before, of stickers on cars. It was a little bit like our notice board up on the corner. You know, you'd witness to the community with stickers on cars. And then one day, one of the sort of my mentors, he was a guy about 10 years older than me, he said, yeah, I love your car. I love all these stickers all over it. It was kind of held together by Christian stickers. And he said, yeah, the challenge with doing that is you've got to be really conscious of how you drive. I hadn't even thought about that one. Hadn't thought about it. See, it's this little by little. It's one day at a time, more and more. And I think if we can grasp just that this morning, there's a sense of, well, yes, God, holiness is possible. Let's not approach this from the perspective, I can never do it. No, that's rubbish. God's done everything to make it possible. All we need to think about is, okay, so how can I please you today, God? What can I do a little bit more? Just another step, one thing at a time, one step at a time, little by little. Maybe you need to develop some habit of life as you wake up every morning, today for the glory of God. I don't know what phrase would help you, but as you wake up, today for the glory of God. That's the opening thought. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Grasp hold of it as you wake up every morning. I've been set free by Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'm glad you're here with me right now. Don't make the presence of the Holy Spirit a work. Rejoice in his presence. What is the one thing? What is the one thing you want me to do today? What is it today? Some of you I know are listening to Pastor John Soper, his Mission 119, his Bible reading program and plan that will take you through the whole Bible. And if you haven't started it yet and are looking for a way to help you read the Bible, Mission 119, there's a link on our new website. Have you seen the new website? Lydia's gone on holiday, so you can't, but you need to send her a text and say thanks. But so there's a link on the website to Mission 119. Well, John used to tell a great story, and some of you would have heard it before. He's an excellent storyteller, John is. And John told the story of Alexander the Great, the Greek general, the Greek leader, who effectively governed a large part of Europe, Asia Minor. And he was this dominant figure in the in world history. And Alexander was a ruthless leader. And among other things, he hated cowardice. And man, if you were in Alexander's army and you turn around and ran, you would be executed. Life's simple. Everyone knew how it worked. Alexander apparently would hold court, and people would be brought before him, and he determined their fate. On this particular occasion, this very, very young boy, this young soldier, was brought before Alexander. And the crime that he had committed was he turned and ran in fear. Cowardice. The very things that Alexander hated. And the old wise men sitting in the background going, oh, this poor kid, it's over. He's done for. Alexander said to the boy, boy, what's your name? And the boy said, very nervously, shaking voice, Alexander. And the old guy's going, man, this kid is really in for it. He hasn't got a hope. And much to their surprise, Alexander looks at the kid, points at him and says, boy, change your behavior or change your name. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus. We name the name Jesus. I'm a Jesus person. And God in Christ has done everything needed that we might live a holy life, pleasing to him. Do it. Do it. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your good gift in giving us Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, present, active here in our lives today. And indeed, God, Lord, I just pray that you by your Spirit would wrestle with us here at the moment. Because everything I'm saying is based on assumption. An assumption. We want to please you. And maybe, Lord, that's where this needs to begin. Wrestle with us, Father. And maybe there are things that we're saying now, well, actually, in all honesty, I prefer this than following you, Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would free us from all this wrestle and this negative deal of holiness. Oh, thank you, God. we can live in a way that pleases you. Wow. Go figure. We can please the eternal God. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, help us enjoy what you've done in our lives and simply live today for your glory. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.